Hey, everybody. Welcome to Flash Ride. This is the show where we, this is probably my favorite show. It's where we look forward to every week, reading the news, getting in touch with what's going on in our world. You know, it's good
my
to stay informed.
Show.
It's good to stay informed. Right,
it's
Paul?
Bad to stay informed.
No, Paul. Wrong, Paul. Bad, Paul.
Oh, you love the show. What are you talking about?
This is Paul's favorite show. Don't let him fool you.
I know.
He loves it. Actually, Paul, you might like our first story. Do you think you're going to like it?
I might have pulled it.
You didn't pull our first story, but I think you're going to like our first story.
Okay. Well, let's hear it.
Okay. Bum, bum, bum. Behold, Dune, an exclusive look at Timothy Chalamet, Zendaya, Oscar Isaac, and more.
Let's skip this.
We're starting to see some pictures.
Yeah, so...
starting to see some pictures.
Timothy Chalamet remembers the darkness.
Ooh.
It was the summer of 2019, and the cast and crew of Dune had ventured deep into the sandstone and granite canyons of southern Jordan, leaving in the middle of the night so they could catch the dawn on camera. The light spilled over the chasms gave the landscape an otherworldly feel. It was what they had come for. It was surreal, says Chalamet. There are these Goliath landscapes, which you may imagine existing on planets in our universe, but not on Earth. But of course, they do exist here. Here's a picture of Zendaya as Chani right here.
Yep.
You see that little, I forget what the purpose of the little tubes they stick in their nose are. Paul probably remembers.
It's a filtration tube. So it's like to catch the moisture that you exhale through your nose.
Right.
When you're wearing a still suit, every little bit of moisture that escapes your body is accounted for.
Right. It's like repurposed and stuff. Because you can't, it's like a huge crime. I don't know if it's actually an outright crime, but it's very verboten to waste moisture. Since water is such a scarce resource on Arrakis. They weren't on Earth anymore anyway. They were on a deadly, dust-dry battleground called Arrakis. In Frank Herbert's epic 1965 sci-fi novel, Arrakis is the only known location of the galaxy's most vital resource, the mind-altering, time- and space-warping spice.
Spice must flow, DJ.
In the new film adaptation, directed by Arrival and Blade Runner 2049 filmmaker Denis Villeneuve, Chalamet stars as a young royal, Paul Atreides, the proverbial stranger in a strange land who's fighting to protect his hostile new home even as it threatens to destroy him. Humans are the aliens on Arrakis. The dominant species on the world are the immense, voracious sandworms that burrow through the barren drifts like subterranean dragons.
I don't know if I would say that the sandworms are the dominant species.
Well, Vanity Fair does say that, Paul.
Okay.
So here's I think this is like pretty much all of House Atreides here.
Yep.
So there you go. There's that. Here's Villeneuve, I think, talking about making this. I would not agree to make this adaptation of the book with one single movie. The world is too complex. It's a world that takes its power in details.
That's a good quote to hear.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd like to hear it.
So here's him working on the set here with
every director. Every time they put a still of a movie, the director's somewhere.
He's always gesturing towards something, pointing towards something.
They're pointing somewhere. It's all like they always have to get him like he's directing. This is what directing's all about.
You point at things, and you look real intense. And there's Javier Bardem behind him there. Got some other pictures here. We got Josh Brolin.
Gurney.
Yep. We got Rebecca Ferguson as Jessica Atreides there. We got Oscar Isaac as Duke Leto Atreides. Looking pretty badass, I might say.
I mean, yeah, these battle armor shots for House Atreides are really good. They're cool.
Yeah, they almost seem to have an update on like the old school knight in shining armor kind of thing.
Yeah.
Looks like it. It also looks like, what's this?
Here's Jason Momoa taking a shit.
Momoa, by the way, if they end up making this, about the first three Dune books or something, it has landed himself the juiciest role in the series for sure.
because he's the big recurring character that's in all of them, right? He kind of ties everything together.
He's Duncan, yeah. So he's a guy that is endlessly cloned. So even if he dies, he's always back. So he's going to have a long career playing that character for sure if this takes off.
Here's Sharon Duncan Brewster as Liette Kynes. I'm probably butchering the name of that. Also some pretty cool costuming there. That's pretty much all the pictures they got. Let's read kind of these this closing paragraph here. The breadth of Dune is what has made it so confounding for others to adapt. It's a book that tackles politics, religion, ecology, spirituality, and with a lot of characters, says Villeneuve. I think that's why it's so difficult. Honestly, it's by far the most difficult thing I've done in my life. After finishing this first movie, he'll have to do it all over again.
And again and again and again, hopefully.
And they also released this shot of Paul here.
Yeah, I saw some people online saying that the ships look like garbage bags picked up by the wind. They look like plastic bags being thrown around.
Yeah, I can't really. I mean, without seeing them in motion, it's kind of hard to judge the ships. They look kind of blocky to me.
I mean,
this is going to be on Caladan, which is Paul's home planet.
His original planet.
You know, absolutely covered in water.
I mean, look, these are basically matte. These are the modern equivalent of a matte painting, you know, so of course it's going to look out of place. You take a still from it and say, look, here's this. And these things are about to be seen in motion.
Pretty cool fucking jacket. I'm digging that jacket.
The aesthetic, everything I've seen about it so far, it looks like they're nailing the aesthetic for sure.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with like the Harkonnens and shit.
Yeah,
how they visually.
We haven't really seen much of the Harkonnens.
I'm wondering how they're going to put their like visual stamp on that.
And they've done a good job with the other two, you know, with the Atreides look and the Fremen look. So
I would say if you look at the Atreides, it's more muted. So I would expect the Harkonnens to be a little bit more ostentatious in their appearance.
So they're going for a very like stark kind of feel with this stuff, you know, like obviously when you're setting it on a planet like Arrakis. I mean, we don't see Arrakis here, but you know, it's like everything's desert. Everything's like kind of barren looking and empty. So I think the movie kind of like all these stills we're seeing are kind of like reinforcing that to me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm starting to hear people like use Dune lingo, you know, talking about this, you know, stuff. I'm starting to hear people make like Fremen references and, you know, all kinds of shit.
I mean, it's,
trying to flex, you know, their Dune knowledge. I'm sorry, not Dune. Dune knowledge muscles to kind of like, yeah, I know about this. You know what I mean?
You're not speaking of Dune, TJ.
It's been a generation since there was a mainstream Dune film and since Dune was mainstream. And there's a whole group of people who are about to be exposed to Dune for the first time.
And you know, book sales are going to fucking skyrocket too.
Oh yeah. Dune remains pretty popular as a sci-fi book and world. It's one of the most revered ever written. It's not like Dune is underground or anything.
No,
there's a whole group of people that have never heard of it, never delved into it, that are going to see it and experience it because of this movie. This has the potential to be the next Game of Thrones, you know, that kind of like political intrigue. In this case, a film, I guess, in that previous case, a show, but just the level of political intrigue in Dune, you know, I mean, there's the opportunity there for them to cash in on this audience that's obviously hungry for that type of shit.
Oh yeah. And I remember, reading some like must read lists and stuff. And usually Dune is almost always on those.
I mean, there's a reason for that. It's like an otherworldly experience reading that book.
It's right. Just, and I mean, look, it's to me, I mean, like, if you're going to fucking put any science fiction book on a must read list, it's probably going to be Dune.
Yeah.
Starship Troopers.
Anywho, Disney Plus censors Daryl Hannah's butt in Splash using questionable CGI.
What do you want? Kids, do you think kids want to see that kind of stuff, TJ?
Kids don't want
to see her rear end, TJ.
The Disney classic Splash arrived on its streaming service, Disney Plus, back in February, and waves are being made over how the Ron Howard directed film has been updated for modern audiences. It's a weird way to phrase that. The 1984 film stars Tom Hanks as a young man who falls in love with a mermaid named Madison, played by Daryl Hannah, after she saves him from nearly drowning. She has the ability to change into a human, and when she gets wet, she starts to transform. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, when she gets wet, yeah. Huh? For those who saw the original uncensored version, the film was originally rated PG and featured nude scenes. According to IMDb, the film rating was given because there are many scenes of nudity in this movie, mostly female, but in one case male as well. The movie nevertheless gets a PG rating because the nudity is all non-sexual nudity and is all essential to the plot. All parts of the body are visible at one point or another except for the pubic areas or genitalia, which we never see clearly. In one scene, Madison walks up to the... Get out of here, fucking pop-up bullshit. Walks up to the Statue of Liberty nude. In another, she dives in the ocean, showing off her rear. Her rear, boys. After giving Hank's character a kiss. Aw. The version edited for Disney Plus conforms to the studio's more rigorous standards for family entertainment, but fans are noticing that the effects used to cover nudity appear to have the same quality as digital fur technology used in the Cats movie debacle. The film begins with a notice saying, "This film has been modified from its original version. It has been edited for content." Disney Plus didn't want butts on their platform, so they edited Splash with digital fur technology. Why would she have fur?
Yeah, well, what?
Let's see this.
They're giving her a furry ass.
Oh, shit. So I guess there's a...
Let's see what they've done here.
Yeah, let's see the monstrosity they've created.
So we're supposed to see her butt in this scene. We're going to see something else, I guess. We're going to see some digital fur or something. Oh. They just made her hair long enough to cover her butt.
Okay. I mean, kids watched this in the fucking 80s. Did they, the heads explode then? They saw Daryl Hannah's butt for 3 seconds.
Well, you know, I think that's why we got so many problems today, Scotty. You know what I mean? Like, think about all the fucking, think about all the problems we got today. It's because these kids growing up in the 80s, they saw that, they saw Daryl Hannah's butt and Splash, and they just grew up to be a bunch of fucking mass murderers and shit.
I guess you're right, man.
Driven mad by the fucking butt cheeks of Daryl Hannah.
This is a fucking thing about Disney taking over the world that I hadn't considered.
Right.
Because as they acquire these properties and add them to their fucking list, what, you know, what's to say that they're not going to do the same thing?
No more butts, Paul.
Well, you know, what's interesting is if you go to the Vatican Museum, they have all these statues from ancient Rome there. And you notice like the Phil Figleaf thing, like obviously when the Greeks and Romans made these statues, they just showed the genitalia, showed the dick and balls or whatever. So the Vatican, what they did, the Catholic Church did, they put fig leaves over the genitalia. So it's kind of the same thing. So history just kind of repeats itself here with our new corporate masters going, "No one wants to see that butt."
There's too much violence in this Die Hard movie.
Yeah, just make it a nonviolent movie. John McClane talks his problems out with the terrorist. And what's his name? Hans Gruber just falls accidentally. No. Oh, he's dead.
But he lands in a big pile of cotton.
What?
He's fine. He's all right, kids.
It's not hard to see where the digital edits have been put into key scenes in the movie. Madison's long hair has been digitally lengthened to continue all the way to thigh level. The Statue of Liberty scene has been edited from a clear rear view shot of Hannah to a blur. And now her butt's all blurry.
I don't want a blurry butt.
Blurry butt.
Focus that butt.
Yeah, so basically, what an insult to whoever directed this, basically implying that they couldn't fucking focus. They didn't know how to focus a fucking camera.
This is Ron Howard.
Yeah. What an insult to Ron Howard. The greatest ginger filmmaker of all time. Sad.
Like, damn, I can't even dispute that. I was like, is there any other ginger filmmakers? I'm like, I can't think of any.
No. Judge to lawyers, please get out of bed and put on a shirt for Zoom court hearings.
Wow. Dude, lawyers took no fucking time in capitalizing on this work from home shit.
Casual attire can be excused for many of our work from home virtual calls, but you can only go so far when you're a lawyer zooming into a court hearing. Why, though? Does it really matter what the fuck the lawyer is wearing? Like, I understand that we still have this bullshit about courts where everybody's got to dress nice like it's fucking some kind of bigger deal than it is. You know, ultimately, doesn't matter if your lawyer's wearing a fucking T-shirt, all right?
Maybe it doesn't matter if your lawyer's wearing a T-shirt. Yeah. I got to say to you, if I got somebody representing me for a bunch of money or my freedom on the line, I want them to look fucking respectable.
I want them to be competent. I'll choose competence over a fucking suit and tie any day.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like, that's part of what's expected by these court systems, you know, so.
Yeah, but why, though? That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. Doesn't matter if they're wearing fucking.
Does it matter intrinsically? No, but it matters to the judge who's overseeing your case. I don't know why. It's subjective.
But I'm just saying the whole thing is stupid. Okay, it's all stupid.
The changes, you think it's stupid.
Yeah.
You know, that's your opinion. So, I mean, clearly, if that's your opinion, but it's not the opinion of the court, do you want your lawyer to show up in fucking, what is it, like a Hawaiian shirt and Bermuda shorts?
No, I just want this whole fucking idea of dress nice. I want the idea of dressing nice in general to just die, honestly.
The male lawyer didn't even dress TD, he was shirtless.
That's fine. You know what? Maybe that's the best lawyer there is. I'll take a shirtless Perry Mason over a fucking well-dressed Lionel Hutz any day.
I want my fucking attorney to at least be out of bed, though. I have to say that.
I don't care. If they can fucking win my case from their bed, fucking butt naked, getting blown by a prostitute.
Laziness, dude. You're so fucking lazy, TJ. You're like, look, I wish I could do my job from my fucking bed.
I could. I could be fucking. If I dragged a bed in here, I could be doing this job in bed right now.
Do the next episode from your bed.
Maybe I will. Maybe I fucking will, bitch. Bitch.
I'd love to see you fucking do it. I want a camera, too, just to prove you're actually in your bed.
As courts hold some of their proceedings online to prevent spreading the coronavirus, Broward's circuit judge Dennis Bailey describes some of what they're seeing from the bench. It is remarkable how many attorneys appear inappropriate on camera. Bailey wrote in a letter posted to the Western Bar Associated website, "We've seen many lawyers in casual shirts and blouses with no concern for ill grooming. In bedrooms with the master bed in the background, etc. One male lawyer appeared shirtless, and one female attorney appeared still in bed, still under the covers."
Damn.
You know what? Fuck Judge Bailey, fucking Dennis Bailey. Go fuck yourself, you uptight prig piece of shit.
I guess I'm a prig, too, because...
Go shove a fucking dildo up your ass, you fucking useless cocksucking motherfucker.
In my mind, The attorney that's probably going to be the best attorney, there's likely a correlation between that and the attorney that doesn't appear tucked into the covers in their jammies still.
Probably not.
You know what I mean? So, like, there's like a fucking real world reason for this kind of decorum, I think, in court.
Yeah. You just need to let go, Paul. Let it go. And putting on a beach cover-up won't cover up your poolside in a bathing suit. So please, if you don't mind, let's treat court hearings as court hearings, whether Zooming or not. These judges are just pissed they've lost control. Bunch of crybaby fucking judges.
I mean, they haven't lost control.
They haven't, yeah. It's Paul.
I can guarantee you that, like, if they order these people next time you come on fucking Zoom being proper attire, I guarantee you that chick isn't showing up in her bed again.
It's like fucking My Cousin Vinny.
At least he tried, though. Like, he got it wrong, but Vinny at least tried. You know what I mean?
You were serious about that? Stimulus checks may be delayed as Trump requires U.S. Treasury to print his name on them.
Yeah. He wants to make sure that everybody that gets one of these checks sees
yeah.
is endorsed by Donald Trump.
Yeah, Trump gave you this check. Late Monday evening, the U.S. Treasury Department ordered the Internal Revenue Service to print President Donald Trump's name on the stimulus checks it is sending to millions of Americans nationwide, reports the Washington Post. The Treasury Department's order could cause the checks to be delayed by several days or longer, senior agency officials told the publication. The unprecedented decision will mark the first time in history that a president's name has ever appeared on an IRS disbursement. Usually, presidents' names don't appear on checks issued by the Treasury Department in order to keep such payments nonpartisan. His name will appear on the memo line appearing left side of the stimulus check.
We all know why this is. Because dude, let's be honest. Most people are going to get direct deposit. A bunch of fucking old people getting the check and it's like, what Trump ever do for you? Sent me a check. Look, it's right here. I framed it and put it on my wall. Donald Trump sent me money.
Just another check and balance on the power of the fucking president, too, that's now just disappeared.
Yeah, he gets to be the dictator.
His name to any money that is given to you.
Why doesn't he just add his name to all the money, you know? You get a $1 bill, put underneath George Washington's, you know, face, it says presented by Donald Trump.
Yeah, from Donald Trump.
Administration officials who spoke anonymously because they weren't authorized to publicly discuss the matter said that Trump had originally asked Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin to allow him to formally sign the checks, but the president isn't legally authorized to do so. The stimulus checks, otherwise known as economic impact payments, were included in the $2.2 trillion stimulus package passed by Congress and signed by Trump late last March. The checks are intended to alleviate the financial burden now facing over 6 million American workers who've lost their jobs or wages due to the coronavirus epidemic. Those eligible to receive a check can get an individual minimum of $1,200 if they earn less than $75,000, or a joint payment of $2,400 if they're a married couple and earn up to $150,000. Additional payments of up to $500 are available for those who live with children under the age of 17. The stimulus checks won't be taxed and won't count towards future taxable income. But the main story here is that these checks are going to be delayed by a few days. So, I mean, like, anybody who needs this check and needs it badly right now, just know that the reason you might be waiting a little longer is so Trump can fucking get his ego stake, you know, into this whole fucking mess.
He is the president.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm willing to wait a little longer.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, longer. I want, you know, if I get that check, I want to see Donald Trump's name on that check, you know? That's important to me.
I want to see, just a big old commercial for Donald Trump on my check. I'm willing to wait for that.
It should just say, I think the whole back of the check should just say vote Trump.
Yeah, it really should.
Like, why even bother? Like, let's just drop any pretense. Just be like, here's money, vote Trump.
Sounds good.
Coronavirus, U.S. to halt funding to World Health Organization, says Trump. U.S. President Donald Trump has said he's going to halt funding to the World Health Organization because it has failed in its basic duty in its response to the coronavirus outbreak. He accused the UN agency of mismanaging and covering up the spread of the virus after it emerged in China and said it must be held accountable. In response, the UN's chief said it was not the time to cut funds to the World Health Organization. Mr. Trump, who has been under fire for his own handling of the pandemic,
which I'm sure has nothing to do with this crusade against the World Health Organization.
Wasn't me. It was them. They done it.
Definitely not an attempt to pass along blame or subvert blame and wrong. Create a fucking boogeyman that you can point at and blame wrong. For everything going wrong.
He has sought to deflect persistent criticism that he acted too slowly to stop the virus's spread by pointing to his decision in late January to place restrictions on travel from China. He has accused the World Health Organization of having criticized that decision and of being biased towards China more generally. I am directing my administration to halt funding while a review is conducted to assess the World Health Organization's role in severely mismanaging and covering up the spread of the coronavirus, Mr. Trump told a news conference at the White House on Tuesday.
I totally object to the story. It's okay. A terrible story.
Sorry.
It's fake news. Look, Donald Trump has had the perfect, TJ, and I mean perfect response to this pandemic. And to you guys to pull this smear story on him, look, what did who do? Where was who at? They did nothing, guys.
Who is who?
Yeah, who is it? I don't know who they are.
Who is who?
Look, Donald Trump stopped the Chinese from coming here. He protected us. He stopped the Europeans. What did they say? Trump's racist. Now they're not saying it. You want to know why? Because Trump did. He did everything perfectly. Perfect response. Perfect pandemic. This is the perfect pandemic. We're good.
The U.S. is the global health body's largest single funder and gave it more than $400 million in 2019. A decision on whether the U.S. resumes funding will be made after the review, which Mr. Trump said would last 60 to 90 days. The World Health Organization is yet to directly respond, but U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the international community should be uniting in solidarity to stop this virus. It is my belief that the World Health Organization must be supported as it is absolutely critical to the world's efforts to win the war against COVID-19, he said. German foreign minister tweeted that strengthening the underfunded WHO was one of the best investments that could be made at this time.
I hate this war analogy that crops up.
War.
Doesn't even have to include another human agency.
The day the COVIDs arrived.
And we're at war with drugs. We're at war with COVID. It's like, no.
We like to declare war on shit, Paul.
I think it's because they want like dumb people to be like realize it's serious.
Oh,
like,
is it a war, though? Is it a war against
COVID-19? It is. Oh, shit, it's a war. All right. I'm still going to ignore it, though.
We got to do something about this COVID-19. We're going to declare war on COVID-19. Oh, war.
Oh, dude, and if you guys worry about what's happening in Brazil with that, the president of Brazil is an idiot. So he's like pretty much like a Trump. So he's like, oh, it's no big deal. We got 25,000 cases. I'm going to go out there and shake hands. It's like, you see what happened to Boris Johnson? He went out and shook a bunch of hands too. And then he ended up in ICU for a couple days, almost dying.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Founded in 1948. Oh, this is some facts about the WHO, I guess. Founded in 1948 in Geneva, Switzerland. UN agency responsible for global public health. Not really a good time to cut funding to it, I don't think. You know, what do I know? Like, even if they fucked up, even if you buy Trump's logic, like the World Health Organization didn't handle this well. It's, I mean, like, still, they have the resources to help handle this, right? Like, you know, it's not really the time to cut the funding just because they made some mistakes.
I mean, it's a major way that first world economies share resources in a time like this. It's the network that kind of brings together all the doctors and scientists that are working on this shit.
Right. So, I mean, like, now is not the time to be like, nope. If you feel like something needs to be done, like, let it be done later when we're past the fucking crisis, you know? Because I'm not just, I mean, maybe they did make mistakes. I don't fucking know. Maybe there is a fucking necessity to have some kind of investigation. I happen to think this is just Trump fucking trying to pass the buck of responsibility onto someone else. But maybe he's,
even if he has a fucking point,
maybe the World Health Organization made mistakes. We know the Trump administration made mistakes. Everybody who fucking comes up against, like, here's a global pandemic that's landing in your lap. Anybody who fucking is faced with that situation is going to make fucking mistakes if we're fucking honest about it. So, I mean, this is another mistake by Trump, in my opinion, trying to cut this funding, trying to fucking point the finger of blame right now, like as if that's what's most important.
What
like,
did Trump say?
Putting your name on these fucking checks is not important. Pointing the finger of blame at the World Health Organization is not fucking important. You should be trying to manage this fucking crisis in a fucking reasonable way, like a goddamn intelligent human being.
What did Donald Trump say? That's like one of those famous things that came out of all these press conferences he's done since this COVID-19 became a big thing was, I do not take responsibility.
Right.
So, I mean, like he literally just said it, like, I do not take responsibility for this. Like, whatever happens, it's not my fucking fault. So, I mean,
someone else did it.
It's a scapegoat. The World Health Organization, oh, well, they didn't react quickly enough. They didn't give me, Donald Trump, the right information at the right time. They said it was no big deal. I listened to them. Oop, they led me astray.
So here's Bill Gates, who a lot of people credit with giving us early warning about the dangers posed by a global pandemic in a TED talk and some other discussions he had a number of years ago, where he basically predicted, the kind of threat that was posed by a pandemic like this. So that's why his people are kind of turning to him, I think, because, he had some predictive power there. He says halting funding for the World Health Organization during a world health crisis is as dangerous as it sounds. Their work is slowing the spread of COVID-19. And if that work is stopped, no other organization can replace them. The world needs the World Health Organization now more than ever. Sounds pretty reasonable to me. but I guess Trump getting to blame somebody else is what's really more important. If Trump wants someone to blame, blame the Eskimos. You know?
Who you blame?
What's that?
Is that who you blame?
No, that's not who I blame necessarily, but they are a convenient scapegoat, you know? Cuz they're up there, they're doing who knows what. You can't trust them. They're a fucking a nasty evil race. Blame the Eskimos. I mean, that's what they're there for. Convenient scapegoat in times like this.
I mean, I gotta imagine that there was failure at every level in the early response to this thing. If the World Health Organization had done its job, there's a high likelihood that a lot of places would have shut down way earlier. Trump, in the early days of really scrambling to try and stop this thing as it really started to spread, dropped the ball, started talking a bunch of nonsense about how it was going to be gone in a month.
Yeah, I mean, like when there was the first press conference they ever held where they even talked about it at all. We had like 15 cases in this country, and he was like, yeah, it's going to be down to zero real soon. Here we are now at like 700,000 or some crazy shit. So, yeah, it's not gone away.
What about that, TJ?
Kellyanne Conway raises eyebrows with COVID-1 remark on Fox News. Did you guys see this at all?
No.
I'm just going to read her quote. We're not going to spend too much time on this, but top White House aide Kellyanne Conway made a baffling and misleading statement during an appearance on Wednesday appearance Wednesday on Fox News, suggesting COVID-19's name is derived in part from the number of known coronavirus diseases. This is COVID-19, not COVID-1, folks, Conway said during an appearance on Fox and Friends.
Oh, my God.
And so you would think that people charged with the World Health Organization would be on top of that.
bullshit, dude. Why do they call it COVID-19? Because there's been 18 other ones. I mean, it's just ignorance.
It's named after the year it was discovered, right?
Yes.
That's where it comes from. It's from because it was discovered in 2019.
I mean, these people, like, look, either you're really, these people are really just fucking retards, or they're just completely full of shit.
You guys want to hear her actually say this dumb shit?
Yes.
The president took decisive and immediate action the end of January to shut down flights from China. That was criticized by the WHO. It was criticized by other people as xenophobic and racist, and travel bans don't work. Well, this one sure did. So we have every right to know.
Did it work? Because hold on, let me just refresh my memory here.
Can we go to the John Hopkins website?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. Let me just see. Let's see how it worked. Okay.
And obviously, keep in mind the official numbers. Even the scientists working on this said this is vastly underreported.
Let's see. Yeah, because we don't have enough testing. Okay, so 613,187 cases. 27,085 deaths. Let's see. Yeah, did it work?
I'm gonna go with no.
No, hold on, guys. Let's be fair here. Let's give ourselves a few more ums here. Yeah, I don't think it fucking worked. All right.
We've tested what, like less than 1% of our population?
There have been 3.1 million tests administered.
Yeah, there you go.
And probably it looks like, you know, a good bit of those turn out positive. I mean, how many people haven't been tested? Tons. Tons of people have not been tested at all, you know, because the testing is still dog shit. So
we'll need to have tested to have a realistic assessment of this, a substantial portion of the population. Until that happens, until there's like a point of service test where you can go to a doctor's office and get tested and get a quick result. Like a rapid strep test or something.
Right.
If you have the ability to do that, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, these tests still suck. They're still slow. They're still fucking hard to come by.
You know what's happening, too? A lot of these people who are dying from COVID-19, they're saying it's something else. So these numbers are vastly underreported as well.
Meanwhile, if you talk to some right-wingers, they say the numbers have been, they've been artificially inflated. Oh, my God, there's so many.
One of Taylor's uncles died from something with pneumonia-like symptoms recently. And they said he died from pneumonia and a bowel blockage.
Right. Because they don't want to fucking even look at the possibility of like, oh, maybe this was COVID. Like, no. It was just pneumonia.
Well, I won't go into the whole medical history. I don't know what she wants me to tell. But just in a general sense, it was like he had an accident. They found a bowel blockage. Then he went to the hospital. He was recovering on antibiotics. And then he started having pneumonia like symptoms, couldn't breathe and died.
Right.
So you. Pneumonia, right?
Sudden.
I mean, in the middle of a pandemic. And of course, he's an older gentleman, or he was. So, yeah, I wonder, head scratcher there. But he didn't die of COVID-19. He died of something else.
I mean, you know, it's possible he didn't. But, I mean, sure. At the same time, was it checked? Did they, like, do a test and see, like, was this COVID-19?
They're not using a fucking, if someone's dead, they ain't using a fucking test kit on him.
Right. Yeah, if you can summon up an example of someone who might have died of COVID-19 and wasn't reported as such, then that means there's tons of other examples.
Oh, there's so many, dude. And in New York City, they talked about the hospitals being overwhelmed. There's tons of people dying at home, too. They couldn't even make it to a hospital.
Right. So, I mean, like, you know, the death toll could be way higher. The infection rate is definitely way higher.
What's happened here in this global pandemic? But there's another reason. Some of the scientists and doctors say that there could be other strains later on. This can come back in the fall in a limited way. This is COVID-19, not COVID-1, folks. And so you would think the people charged with the World Health Organization facts and figures would be on top of that. That this is just a pause right now. So there.
This is COVID-19, not COVID-1.
Fucking empty-headed suit's mouth that knows nothing about what she's talking about. Like, this shows you what's endemic in the Trump administration. How well you suck Trump's dick, not how well you actually do your job.
Uh,
You know, they didn't do nothing when COVID-1 came out. They didn't do nothing when COVID-2 came out. They didn't do nothing when COVID-3 came out.
Dude, Kellyanne Conway is just basically Trump's stooge, dude.
Oh, totally.
Jesus. Get out there and, you know, defend me. Say whatever you got to say. It doesn't matter. I bet they worked that one, too. Oh, this is COVID-19, not COVID-1. I bet that was an idea that didn't just come to her in the moment here.
Oh, it's going to play really well to the base. Fauci, does that make sense? No, it doesn't, sir. Do it. Oh. Barack Obama. Barack is back, you guys.
Yes, he was back. Back again.
So months ago, we talked about how it was just a matter of time before Obama endorsed Joe.
Obama rips Trump as he finally backs Joe Biden's 2020 bid. Hells yeah, bro. The super surrogate has arrived. It's time for Obama.
By knowledge and experience, honesty and humility.
Yeah.
Okay, so hold on. Wait a minute. Wait.
Who's he talking about?
Yeah. How does Joe Biden have any of those things?
Paul,
I guess experience.
Paul, in fairness to him, he's probably talking about the other Biden.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean,
Jebediah Biden.
He doesn't even have experience anymore. He's forgotten. He's forgotten it all. So.
He forgot all the shit.
Oh.
It doesn't just belong in our state capitals and mayor's offices. It belongs in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm so proud to endorse Joe Biden for president of the United States. Choosing Joe to be my vice president was one of the best.
They needed to do a cut there because it was followed by 3 solid minutes of laughter.
Yeah.
He had to cut out that.
I ever made. And he became a close friend. And I believe Joe has all the qualities we need in a president right now.
Oh, my God. Do you need any more fucking proof? Do you need any more fucking proof that this guy was never on your side? What a nightmare. Joe has all the qualities we need in a leader right now. So we need our leader to be incapable of stringing together a sentence.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a criteria.
Prone to outbursts of weirdness.
Anger, of course, too.
Anger. Yeah, angry.
Confused, doddering,
crotchety, you know, just upset with everyone around him,
mentally impaired, completely out of touch with modern technology. This is what we need.
That's what we need,
folks.
That's
the leadership that we need.
That's the leadership America needs right now, Paul.
How to bounce back when you've been knocked down.
He gets knocked down, but he gets up again. You're never going to keep him down.
Obama's starting to look like a Sith Lord, by the way.
Yes.
It looks like the dark side is starting to twist him. Look at him.
Joe Biden will be an excellent president. Yes. He has all of the qualities that we desire. Humility.
You know what you're getting. It's like, okay, I'm getting evil Obama now. It's just, you know, he's only backing him for, you know, to basically maintain power. All right, I got you.
He is humble. He is honest.
He cares deeply for the population. It's like, all right, sure he does.
The son of a man who once knew the pain of having to tell his children that he'd lost his. When Joe talks about opportunity for our kids, we hear the young father who took the train home each night so he could tuck his children into bed. And we hear the influence of Jill, a lifelong teacher. When Joe talks to families who've lost a hero, we hear another parent of an American veteran, a kindred spirit, somebody whose faith has endured the hardest loss there is. That's Joe. Through all his trials, he's never once forgotten the values or the moral fiber that his parents passed on to him.
Let's be honest. Joe Biden's forgotten a lot of shit at this point.
Plus, I mean, like, this is entirely just like an emotional fucking case for Joe Biden.
Yeah, look, yeah.
He lost a child once. Oh.
I think
Joe Biden has suffered personal tragedies. Make him president. Make it president.
My child were killed in that. It was a car accident. I mean, that's horrible. I mean, I'm not going to shit on him for that. But at the same time,
this does it qualify him to be president of the United States?
Yeah. No, of course it doesn't. You know, having tragedy in your life doesn't qualify you for anything except to talk about tragedy.
Yeah, Obama's going to be out there now. Joe Biden. Joe Biden.
It just reinforces my no voting because I actually feel ill that I voted for this person once.
I don't blame you.
I feel sick to my stomach looking at him and listening to his bullshit line.
Coronavirus. German zoo may have to feed animals to each other.
What? Fuck.
Yeah, this is metal.
Zoos that should have been crowded in the sunny Easter holidays are now hard up and asking for donations as the coronavirus lockdown bites. A zoo director in northern Germany has even admitted that some animals might soon have to be fed to others if the zoo is to survive. We've listed the animals we'll have to slaughter first.
Dude's been talking about the systematic slaughter of anything. I mean, come on, Germans. Think about what you're saying.
Berlin Zoo has infant panda twins, but their fans can only watch them online. The zoo's spokeswoman, Feline Hockmeister, told DPA news agency, the panda twins are adorably sweet. We should feed them to the boa constrictor. Constantly, we're thinking.
Give them to the boa, dude.
The visitors should be watching them live. We don't want the little pandas to be grown up by the time we finally reopen. Yeah, sir. It's hard to get these pandas in there. That's why these fucking zoos are so desperate for these pandas to fuck all the time, so they can get like these cute panda babies and shit. And yeah. Then now they finally got them, and it's like no one is allowed to come to the zoo. It's like, fuck! What bad timing for us.
Dude, this is kind of an aside, but I think it's related. I finally watched that Tiger King thing that apparently everybody in the pandemic has watched this thing except me.
I've been resistant. I'm resisting it.
Yeah.
I'm a conscientious objector.
No, dude, it was actually really interesting, and it deals with a lot of what you were just talking about.
Oh yeah.
About like the value of little baby animals. Because, you know, as one part of it, it exposes this kind of ring of cub petting things where it's like people breed tigers just so they'll make cubs so they can, you know, charge people money to go into their little zoos and pet these cubs. And then once the cubs become actual, like, giant beasts, they're no longer useful.
Oh, not at all.
And so they just get put down. So they just exist to be cubs for a little while.
Well, I mean, of course, any of these actual ethical zoos wouldn't do that. But obviously, these unscrupulous ones run by, you know, private individuals mainly, they don't give a shit. Because you're right, like, because it brings big business into any zoo. Like, if you've seen that, like, remember Canute, the little German polar bear? Everyone wanted to go to the zoo. So that zoo probably fucking made a ton of money. Of course, then he died, but it's like, he wasn't cute anymore anyways.
So basically, she goes on to say that, you know, they need to feed the penguins these huge quantities of fish and stuff. But if it comes to it, they'll have to euthanize animals rather than let them starve. She says, at worst, we would have to feed some of the animals to others.
So there's no facility in the German government to provide, like, feeding subsidies to these places or whatever?
I guess not.
I mean, just another example of why certain things should never be private.
Yeah.
Like, these zoos should be, you know, maintained by the people, not by some private fucking corporation.
Oh man, that's just horribly sad that, you know, they have these animals and they're keeping them in captivity. Then it's, well, we're gonna have to either feed them to the other. I mean, come on. If the animal was dead or something, sure, why let the animal go to waste? But just let them starve to death, or just say they're gonna be fed to it. I mean, I don't know.
Well, they said they might have to euthanize some rather than letting them starve to death. Amazon is not taking care of us. Warehouse workers say they're struggling to get paid sick leave. Paid despite sick leave policy.
What?
Yeah, Amazon said it would provide workers with up to 2 weeks of paid sick leave if they tested positive for, you know, COVID, or are in quarantine due to the coronavirus.
Oh yeah, so you know, it's so easy to get those.
But five Amazon workers told CNBC they've received no pay or were given 60% of their typical weekly paycheck despite meeting the requirements for paid sick leave. Many of them are now applying for unemployment benefits in order to make up for gaps in their income. So this is we don't need to get into the fucking whole article and stuff. But I mean, the basics here is Amazon, you know, said, we're going to do paid sick leave for anybody who's, you know, test positive and all this stuff, which, first of all, it's really hard to get the test in the first place. So, and, you know, I think it takes like a week or two to get the results back even. So that's a huge problem. The other problem is that this coronavirus, Amazon boss Jeff Bezos adds $24 billion to fortune. Amazon is not taking care of us. Warehouse workers say they're struggling to get paid sick leave. Amazon boss Jeff Bezos adds $24 billion to fortune.
Much, pounds, though. His wealth only increased by $19 billion. So, think about that one, Jay. Not quite as much, then, is it?
Jeff Bezos now has a fortune of $138 billion, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, cementing his position as the world's richest man. Amazon has benefited from surging internet shopping by people forced to stay home during the COVID-19 outbreak. The firm has been recruiting thousands of workers to cope with demand. However, Amazon has been criticized by employees in the U.S. over workspace protection against the coronavirus. Mr. Bezos owns an 11% stake in Amazon, and on Tuesday, the firm's shares rose by 5.3%. The family behind retail giant Walmart, which owns Asda in the U.K., I don't know if that's how that's pronounced. It sounds pretty lame. Have also gained during the lockdown. The Waltons saw their net worth rise 5% this year to $169 billion, making them the world's richest family, according to Bloomberg. With millions now working from home, online meeting site Zoom has seen founder Eric Yuan's fortune more than double to $7.4 billion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is all about all the people making all the money off of the pandemic, you know?
Well, all the same old people getting richer and richer.
I'm starting to make a connection here. And maybe I'm crazy.
Oh, you're definitely crazy.
So we've got these giant companies like Amazon and Walmart that have tremendous influence in the government, profiting massively on the ongoing nightmare of the American people and the people all over the world at this fucking point.
Yeah.
And they have tremendous influence in the government and they profit massively when the government is bad at fucking handling crises. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's a conflict of interest there.
No,
should be addressed.
I don't think so.
Look, Paul, Jeff Bezos started this in his garage in Seattle, Washington. Look at him now.
Yeah, look at him now, Paul. That's the American dream, Paul.
I mean, all these stories, every last one of these stories that we've covered so far, the drumbeat in my head has been the answer is global governance. The answer is a one world government. The answer is stop this fucking stupid competitive nonsense and get together under one fucking banner already.
Come together right
this
now.
This is not working. This is not working. Having these giant fucking behemoth corporations that just rake in money when there's a horrifying disaster and people are dying in the waiting rooms of hospitals and shit. It's not working because as you can see from these two fucking stories, Jeff Bezos is not spreading that wealth amongst the people who are risking their lives to keep the fucking supply chain.
Oh, going. It's trickling down, Paul. It's trickling on down.
Just wait for that trickle, Paul. Just stand there with your hat out and go any day now.
It's not working. I mean, that you may not agree with my fucking remedy to the situation, but how could you look at stories like this, like all of these stories that we've just talked about? Because that zoo story, that was in Germany. So I'm not just leveling the fucking gun at America here. This is not working. The way that we've structured Western society, this fucking weird capitalistic nightmare we're all sharing, is not working. It's fucking us actively in the ass. That story alone, he is fucking those people in the ass. Jeff Bezos is pocketing billions of dollars on this crisis, and he's refusing to even give the baseline protection to the people on whom he's profiting, the people working in his big fucking sweatshop factories.
Well, think about the laws, too. The laws aren't written to protect those workers. You know, we don't even have, in the United States, we're not even paid sick leave. I mean,
it's not working.
Well, that's definitely not working. Before that, there was no even. I mean, they passed some temporary paid sick leave, but as we've seen, it's totally ineffective. Amazon is a hugely profitable company. I mean, Jeff Bezos is now worth $138 billion, only having an 11% stake in the company. And guys, keep in mind, Jeff Bezos got divorced. So if he had his original stake, he'd probably be worth even more. He'd probably be worth almost $170, $200 billion, somewhere in that range right now. I mean, we're talking this guy has this massive fortune at Whole Foods, another company Amazon bought recently. I mean, maybe a couple years ago or something like that. They were asking workers to donate money to, like, oh, so the other people can have time off. It's like, Amazon is a fucking multinational corporation that makes
Jeff Bezos is worth billions of dollars.
Yeah, they can't fucking fund this. This company can't fund this. I mean, he could fund this out of his own fucking pocket if he wanted to. Like, literally not even touch the company's money. If he was like, you know what, it's $1 billion, I'll just pay it. He could do. I mean, I'm not saying he should even have to, but I mean, like, the thing is that he could. And that's the
fucking... He won't. The point is he won't.
Yeah, he's so fucking greedy. He's such a greedy fuck that he doesn't care. He doesn't give a shit if people are fucking suffering. He doesn't give a shit if people are fucking miserable. He doesn't fucking care. And none of these other people do because they're rich. They're at this point, they're like, I'm a cut above all these other fucking plebs. Jeff Bezos lives in the lap of fucking luxury and doesn't care. He's like, no, whatever. I'm going to keep making money. Oh, they're going to whine about me. Fuck them. Who cares? I'm rich. They're not. End of story.
How many people are employed by Amazon?
Oh, God.
Worldwide, it's got to be insane.
I mean, probably millions of people at this point. I mean, look, Amazon was starting a delivery service. They've temporarily not doing that because of COVID-19, but they were starting a delivery service in cities that compete with UPS, USPS, and FedEx. They do grocery delivery. They do video on demand. I mean, there's so many things Amazon does. I would say they have factories across the world. They have Amazon in the UK. It's big there. I don't know how big it is there.
So the most recent thing I could find is from a year ago, and it says they had 750,000 employees.
And they said they're going to hire, like, I think 500,000 more this year.
Right. So
one of the world's biggest employers. I mean, potentially the biggest soon.
Right. So, I mean, like, you assume you probably got like a million employees or something at this point, or
probably
climbing up towards like 1.2 or 3 million at this point.
Oh, this is going to accelerate all of this stuff. Like Amazon building on a delivery network. That's just like, that's going to happen. They're going to have their own delivery ship because they're going to go, we want to own everything. We want to own it from the time that basically, like, they even manufacture stuff. Amazon has Amazon products, dude. They want it. Like, they're basically the next Walmart. They're the fucking 21st century's Walmart, clearly.
I don't know, dude. Just makes me fucking sick. And it's really sad, too, that I think that people will crave the normalcy that was life before this happened.
So I did some math, by the way. I wanted to see what Jeff Bezos's personal fortune would be if you split it up among all of the workers for Amazon.
Okay.
So I estimated about 1 million Amazon employees. It could be a little less or a little more because the most recent thing I could find was 750,000 from a year ago. And then I took his personal fortune, not the company's fortune, just his personal fortune of $138 billion. And I divided it. And the results, $138,000 per person.
Wow.
So, I mean, like, his personal fortune divided by all the people working for him, you know, would make each and every one of them not rich, but, you know, getting more than by at that point, right? So, you know, I mean, it's just interesting to see. But, you know, but he's going to sit there and act like, oh, I can't afford to pay him paid sick leave. It's like, yes, you can. Oh, man, you could give, you could make each and every fucking one of your employees, you give each one of them six figures right now.
Because the problem is this, is that we're relying on a ultra capitalist piece of shit like Jeff Bezos to be benevolent and generous to his employees instead of just having laws saying, no, you have to pay these people.
Yeah. I mean, like these capitalists are not ever going to fucking, they're never going to fucking do the right thing.
The broader problem is that we're ignoring capitalism, period. Like, Jeff Bezos is a symptom. He's a symptom of capitalism. Like, we're relying on this idea that you have to go out and have a warehouse job in order to get by.
Right.
And the value of work in that system is basically nothing and always has been.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with you.
People have had to fucking scrabble for labor rights through the entire existence of this industrialized fucking world we live in.
Right.
It isn't working. It's just another system that is not working.
Yeah, they get crumbs. As we see, those people are getting crumbs, and Jeff Bezos is getting rich.
Right,
and
but we do need... But look, but you know, people want stuff off of Amazon. People want goods delivered to their house. That means there has to be someone working a factory to fucking deliver those goods to them. So the question is, how do you compensate the people who work in those factories? Do you do it under a system like this one where Jeff Bezos gets to make $138 billion and the workers who work in the factories get treated like shit? Or do you come up with something else? Or do you say, you know, we don't need this. We don't need any of the, people don't need to fucking have these goods delivered, you know, to their houses or whatever. Like, cause you're going to throw, like, do you throw that baby out with the bathwater?
I don't see how you get people suddenly to, it's like, you know, should people get rid of air conditioning? It would be better for the environment. Sure. Are people going to want to get rid of air conditioning? And if they can't, unless they're forced to, no. I mean, no one's going to get rid of that convenience of like, I can have whatever delivered to me now. I mean, but it kind of goes deeper into consumer culture, you know, because people want this shit. Do they necessarily need this shit? I mean, sometimes, sure. I mean, I'm not saying everything you buy off Amazon is useless, but a lot of shit's just, you know, extraneous shit that you just want in your life. It's not something you need. It's, there's, you know, of course, want, need.
Sure.
There's like, look, if it wasn't Amazon, it'd be somebody else. We all know that.
It's an interesting discussion. I hope we can continue it at some point, but we really got to move on.
Sure.
So, tornado outbreak tears across the South, killing 33. This is another example of positivity.
Nice. Me, though.
It missed us.
We were under tornado warning for that day.
You know what always happens around here, though? I'll tell you what happens in this part of Louisiana. Like, we're just so near, like, the Gulf. A lot of times, these systems just get pushed north of us, and that's what happened with this one. I mean, we still got some shit, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like the worst of this shit gets pushed a little bit further north.
Yeah, I didn't really see shit. There was a worse storm a few nights before the big storm, so
yeah,
it didn't do shit for us. But, you know, for other people, it was pretty devastating. A deadly tornado outbreak continued into the Carolinas and Tennessee on Monday. At least 11 people were killed in Mississippi. 7 died when storms tore through mobile home parks near Georgia-Tennessee border. And there's just nothing you can do if you live in a fucking mobile home, really. I mean, it just, there's no fucking basement to hide in. There's no stable foundation for you to rely on to keep you tethered to the ground in any way, shape, or form.
Taylor used to tell me her aunt, one of her aunts used to come to her parents' house every time when there's storms like this, because Shreveport, where she's from, they get a lot more of this like tornado kind of weather, and she'd have to leave because she'd be scared shitless because those things just, they literally just collapse in on themselves or break apart or just, you can't be in one.
Or just fly the fuck away.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing.
Or they could just watch Twister. And take off their belt and tie it to the pipe that goes into the back of the toilet.
Okay, right.
And then tie the other end around your wrist.
I just want to say, Twister is one of the dumbest fucking movies I've ever seen in my life. And you just described exactly why. Because they spend the entire movie building up how powerful this F5 tornado is. Like, it's an F5, you know? Like, oh shit, this is an F3. You see what the F3, oh, it's an F4. Uh-oh. It's the dreaded F5 we've been building up the whole movie. And then, yeah, he just slaps his belt around a pipe, rides it on out, you know. Oh, that was the solution all along. Not to mention Bill Paxton and fucking, what is it, Holly Hunt?
Helen Hunt,
right. Oh, have you seen how fucking weird she looks these days?
Helen Hunt?
Yeah, she looks weird.
No, I haven't seen her.
I got to see.
Oh, I'm going to show you guys. You just wait. And like,
yeah. Well, by the way, I was reading about these tornadoes and some family in Mississippi, I guess they had like one of those like cement shelters they built into the house in a closet. And of course, you know, I was reading, I'm like, oh, man, it's great that family survived. What? She's a ghoul.
Hey there, smooth skin.
I was just thinking that, dude. Some old people just get the ghoul face. They're like, Joe Biden's one of them. Like, they become ghouls.
I don't know what's happened. I mean, like, I understand, you know, aging happens and stuff, sure, but yeah. Like, you know, like that's some weird aging right there. Like what happened? There's something else is going on.
Her chin looks really weird. Like she had a normal chin back in like the early 2000s. Now her chin just doesn't really exist anymore. It's like kind of just melted into her face.
You know what she looks like to me?
What?
She looks like the kid from that stupid fucking inspirational goddamn movie Wonder. You know what I mean?
She does. Damn, dude.
It's like Augie.
I didn't watch this movie because it looks horrible.
Augie, dude. I remember that's his name from the trailer. I've never seen the movie.
Yeah. So I don't know. She kind of reminded me of that. Anyway, I'm being really mean to Helen Hunt right now. I'm sorry. Yeah, but
you are. How dare you, man? How dare you? But dude, you know, anyway, this family built this. They had the shelter built in the house. And that's actually what they said in the article. Oh, that's why we bought the house, because we knew we'd be safe. So they survived this horrible thing. Their whole house around them was destroyed. And guess who got the credit for it?
Jesus.
God. God saved him. Like, you dumb motherfuckers. Like, if someone hadn't built that, you'd just be dead. So it was the guy who built the house. Whoever built the house and wanted that shelter.
Yeah, but who touched that man's heart to get him to build that shelter?
Good point. He knew. Ooh. When I built this shelter, I knew God was telling me I'm going to save a life.
Here's some good news. Holy water reigns over New Orleans as Archbishop and Rabbi perform flyover coronavirus blessings.
We're saved.
This is another positivity.
What a comfort.
Sorry, I've kind of ruined the positivity thing by.
Yeah, you've turned it sour. TJ.
I've misapplied it too many times now.
You've made it dark.
You know what? I'm gonna stop that and actually be serious about it for a while, so that next time I make that joke, it's gonna actually land.
Where's again. Here's a more accurate one. You want some positivity? Here you go.
I mean, I like that one too.
Scotty and his fart box. 70-year-old New Orleans Archbishop Gregory Imond climbed into the open-air cockpit of a World War II-era biplane on Good Friday morning and roared off on a 25-minute mission. As a pilot steered a course from the lakefront airport to Kenner to Gretna to the French Quarter and back, Imond blessed the population, which had been afflicted and isolated by the coronavirus, from a safe distance, 1,000 feet up.
It was spread through the air, so, I mean, he probably got super coronavirus.
As he flew, Amon prayed for protection and healing. Man, it must suck to be like, you know, like a vampire or something, just fucking chilling down there, you know? All of a sudden, some holy water fucking starts raining on your head.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're not out in the sun anyway, so that's fortunate.
Vampires would be suffering anyway because nobody's out and about, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're just, like, fucking starving. Poor vampires.
Anyway. And then here comes this fucking Pope guy sprinkling holy water on him.
Coronavirus lockdown spares Czech women an Easter whipping. What? What?
Damn, all right. Wait,
what's
going
on?
Czechoslovakia.
What's happening in Czechoslovakia? What's going on now? When are we moving there? What's going on? Huh?
I know you were on a kick to move to New Zealand recently, but I think you have to reconsider.
The coronavirus lockdown has led to a suspension of a controversial Czech Easter tradition where men lightly whip women with a switch made of willow branches to ensure fertility.
Oh, boy.
Damn, dude. Them Czech people got shit figured out, I'll tell you what.
Holy shit.
Why are you laughing, TJ? This is a good and moral way to treat women.
It's an Easter Monday ritual of pagan origin, popular in rural areas. We've talked about this before. I didn't know it was still going on, I don't think, but we did talk about this being a thing. I forget what the context was when we brought it up before. Men go door to door singing a ditty and whipping women's legs and buttocks. They are rewarded with painted eggs and shots of plum brandy. This is the best holiday. What the fuck?
Yeah, dude.
You know what? I was just sitting around with Chelsea the other day. And, you know, it was Easter and stuff, and, you know, and she's like, don't you ever celebrate Easter? And I'm like, no, you know, I don't fucking, because I mean, what can an adult do on fucking Easter, you know? Get an Easter basket, paint some fucking eggs. I don't give a fuck about any of that.
You got to get in the spirit, TJ.
But this, I can get behind this, you know? Go around whipping girls' butts and they fucking serve me fucking plum brandy or whatever the fuck. This sounds cool.
The pagans had this shit figured out.
Yeah, we need to bring back paganism. God damn it. Make paganism great again.
Yeah, thank you.
Me and Scotty on the same wavelength there, I guess.
It's true, man. Look, these pagans had shit figured out, TJ. Fucking be one with nature, man. Whip women and drink plum brandy.
However, for many Czech women, the ritual is far from harmless. It hurt like hell, said Latka Borova, who grew up in Prague rather than in a village. Even as a child, I felt acute embarrassment at the heavy-handed symbolism. You're giving men your eggs to stop them from being violent. It just was... Ah, shut up. Don't ruin this for me, all right? Shut up. Can we have one damn thing, please? Let me have this, damn it.
I'm not loving the costumes, but you know, hey, with the good, yeah, comes the bad. So if I gotta wear that costume, I mean, I'm fine with it.
Scott, you'd look dashing in that. Paul, do you agree with me? Sky would look good in that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he'd probably fill one of those out pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, fucking big old crazy poofy sleeve fucking shit with all kinds of weird whatever the fuck is going on. You look sharp, Scotty. Six people shot at California house party that violated stay-at-home order.
Oh, shit, dude. Is there a Corona vigilante out there?
Corona vigilante.
Pixel's just in serious.
Six people were shot, including a juvenile, at a large house party in California that violated the state's stay-at-home order. The shooting took place just before 12:30 a.m. on Saturday at an apartment complex in Bakersfield in Southern California. The Kern County Sheriff's Office said in a press release, investigators found 94 shell casings and 3 live rounds at the scene, according to the Associated Press.
Yeah, man, they pumped that party full of lead, dude.
The victims included 4 women and 1 man, along with a juvenile female. They have all been taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, the department said. Authorities are searching for 4 suspects. No arrests have been made at this time, and the investigation is ongoing, the Sheriff's Office said in its release. Governor Gavin... Yes.
Bakersfield is a notorious shithole.
It
by
is.
The way. If you're from that area of California, Bakersfield is one of the worst cities in that area. It's just nasty and dirty and poor, horrible crime.
Me and TJ went to a Tool concert in Bakersfield. We didn't really know anything about Bakersfield. I was like, yeah, I think it's like where Korn's from or something. Let's go see Tool there. Some dudes were giving TJ like they'd snuck alcohol. It was like basically like rubbing alcohol into the venue. And
yeah, he said it was. I asked him what it was, and he told me it was rubbing alcohol mixed with Mountain Dew.
The good thing, no, I will say I'll give these guys credit though, because I was like, I'm the designated driver. I was like, oh, okay, sorry, man. But then TJ proceeded to get wasted.
Yeah, well, you know what happened was the guy found me and he was like, you're big. You and I are gonna push our way to the front. And he got me fucking liquored up like crazy. And I'm just like, yeah. And so then I pushed my way to the front because I was fucking like liquored up on this concoction that he'd fed me. And then he was too much of a pussy. I guess he didn't get drunk enough and he stayed behind. So I went ahead and plowed my way to the front for him. He didn't do it. But the fucking bad thing is that I got so fucked up on that after that, the entire fucking concert is a blur. I don't remember fucking seeing Tool at all, even though I was apparently front row at a Tool concert. I have no memory of it whatsoever.
Dude, you're out of it, man.
Like, it was like, here's what I remember from that concert. I remember him giving me the drink. I remember him pointing at a guy and being like, that dude's an asshole, kick his ass. And then me pushing the guy away. And then I remember the concert starting and me fucking forcing my way to the front and just pushing people out of my way like a bulldozer. And then I remember I remember nothing of the actual concert. And the next thing I remember is me climbing stairs drunk while people that are behind me were like getting out of the way in case I fell.
Oh, dude, people were scared shitless. I remember this dude just standing behind TJ. Like, this, it was actually a really small dude. He was like just terrified. She stumbled back on the stairs and they're like, nope.
Yeah, people were getting out of my way and shit.
You were basically just made the toady of this guy immediately.
But he didn't even use me properly, though, because I pushed my way to the front, but he didn't even follow. It's like, I thought we had a fucking deal. You get me fucked up on this horrible drink you've concocted, and then I'm your fucking toady that fucking, like, I'll defend you and shit. I'll be your thug. But he didn't even do it. It's like, come on, man. I fucking bulldozed my way to the front. You didn't even follow. What a pussy. So that's why, you know, never just become an instant toady for booze. Because you just don't know who you're swearing loyalty to at that point. It's a life lesson learned. Anyway, we're going to fucking wrap up the pleb section. We're going to wrap it up with this trailer. This is a trailer for the Jack in the Box. You scared, Paul?
I'm terrified.
Are you prepared for the terror of the Jack in the Box? Boom! pop goes the weasel, bitch. Da-da. They really missed an opportunity to play that fucking Jack in the Box music here, right?
Yes.
I mean, like, if you're going to make a movie about an evil Jack in the Box, shouldn't it you be playing the fucking thing and, like, you know, it
Pop Goes the Weasel.
Yeah, you play Pop Goes the Weasel on the Even ICP had the intelligence to fucking do that when they tried to make a scary Jack in the Box. They knew that. If ICP has better sense of how to make it scary than you, that's a fucking bad thing. Whoa. Uh-oh. Oh, I'm scared now.
There's evidence that suggests.
There's evidence that suggests.
The Jack in the Boxes were originally built in France to contain evil entities.
Oh, yeah. There's evidence to suggest that, guys. Do you know that, Paul?
I've just been edified.
Jack. Once you open the box, you can't escape it.
Okay.
Jack in the Box.
Oh, it's just some horror movie where the, I guess, the auspices for this thing attacking you is you open the box. And it's never been done before.
The Jack in the Box.
I can't think of any other horror movie where that's been the premise. Like, there's a weird puzzle box that if you open it, a bunch of demons come out and kill you.
Yeah, pretty original concept. I can't think of even one other movie that uses that premise. And by the way, that costume looks about as scary as a spirit Halloween store animatronic. So,
okay, what Walgreens did they hit up to get that costume, dude?
Yeah, looks pretty bad.
Yeah, costumer person, like, just like sick or something.
And I mean, once again, how fucking stupid do you have to be to not use Pop Goes the Weasel in that trailer? I mean, it's like gift wrapped for you with your concept. I mean, come on.
Maybe it costs money, like Happy Birthday.
Yeah, maybe. They didn't have the budget. We can't afford Pop Goes the Weasel. Anyway.
Also, Happy Birthday, I think, came into public domain.
Hey, plebs, sorry, but you got to go. Right,
get
guys?
Out of here.
So, hey, look, listen,
fuck out of here.
The show is not over, okay? The show's over for you guys, but the show's not over. We got a whole other hour of fucking news stories and shit to look through, but you're not gonna see it because you're not a fucking patron. And it's like, how many times every week I gotta tell you guys this? Just become a fucking patron already. Like, what are you waiting for? Do you have any idea how much shit we have on Patreon exclusive for our patrons?
I don't want it,
TJ. You're watching this shit every week. Fucking, you know, 20,000-30,000 people tune in and watch this fucking show. Sometimes more. But they don't fucking want to see the whole show. They don't want to go behind the fucking paywall and just check it out. You have any idea how much shit's behind that fucking paywall at this point? We've built up a fucking giant catalog of shit. Tons of shows. Tons of fucking content. All sorts of fucking things and goodies for you to fucking watch. So become a patron. It's not expensive. It's $5 a month. Ten if you want to go to that next level. But try the 5 first, see how you like it, maybe consider upgrading to the 10 later. But come on, join up. It's like,
now's the time.
It's like, I'm tired of making this plea to you every fucking week, just trying to get you to fucking listen and reason and do what you obviously should be doing.
Your time is now.
$5 a month for fucking hours upon hours upon hours. I mean, we're days of content at this point. Days.
Years, months, weeks, years.
It could be months. It might be months at this point. It's probably not months yet.
17 months.
But definitely days worth. So fucking sign up. All right, plebs, you're out. Go. Go. Get out. I said get out. Shoot.
Deep bad fight. Deep bad fight. Deep bad fight. Deep bad fight.